Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interests in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Betsy DeVos, Trump's pick for Secretary of Education, was in the hot seat last night on Capitol Hill. At her confirmation hearing, she was grilled about school choice, ethics, her billions, and much more. She was asked if she would defund public schools. She didn't say. Lots of questions still. This hour on Point, what to make of Betsy DeVos and the Trump vision for kids in the classroom? You can join us on air or online. Is Betsy DeVos the person you want heading up the Education Department? Is her support for charter schools and voucher programs the future? You can join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me first this hour from Washington is Michael Stratford, education reporter at Politico Pro. He was there for all the fireworks at last night's confirmation hearing. Michael, welcome to On Point. Great to have you.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me.
So confirmation hearings turned testy before she even said a word. Betsy DeVos, what's the headline in your mind out of these hearings?
Well, this was certainly a more contentious confirmation battle for an education secretary than we've seen in some time. As you pointed out at the top of your show, she was grilled by Senate Democrats about a range of issues, and they tried to portray her as unfit for the job, unqualified, tried to portray her views as out of the mainstream of federal education policy. She sidestepped quite a number of questions about specific policies they were trying to nail her down on. And she also stumbled significantly at one point in answering a question about how, if at all, the federal government should enforce federal law governing special education funding.
We'll get to that in a minute. Let me ask you first about public education. She said, Betsy DeVos said, her commitment to traditional public education is, quote, strong and robust. But here she is speaking about giving parents options about their children's schools.
Parents no longer believe that a one-size-fits-all model of learning meets the need of every child. And they know other options exist, whether magnet, virtual, charter, home, faith-based, or any other combination.
Okay, so lots of other options she's saying there for parents. Did she talk about diverting taxpayer dollars from traditional public schools?
She repeatedly said that it is her goal to provide students and parents with more choice and more options, and said that one-size-fits-all education, we need to move away from one-size-fits-all education. She was asked specifically whether that meant defunding or taking funds away from public schools, and she sort of demurred and didn't really answer that question. But she has long been an advocate for alternatives to traditional public schools. So she was really in this hearing trying to push back against criticism that she wouldn't defund public schools or traditional public schools. She said she would be a great advocate for public education, acknowledging that the majority of students in this country go to public schools. But I think the jury is still out on whether she reassured mostly Democrats on the committee and in the Senate that she would actually be someone who would champion public schools and not divert resources away from them.
You brought up this exchange. Here is Washington Senator Patty Murray asking Betsy DeVos about whether or not she would cut public spending for schools. DeVos gave a rather vague response.
Can you commit to us tonight that you will not work to privatize public schools or cut a single penny from public education?
Senator, thanks for that question. I look forward, if confirmed, to working with you to talk about how we address the needs of all parents and all students.
Republicans, of course, Michael Stratford, applaud Betsy DeVos's work to expand charter schools and voucher programs, which gives families public funds to pay school tuition elsewhere. Did she respond to that?
She did. And, you know, Republicans portrayed her as a bold reformer on these issues. And that certainly, to a large extent, is true. She has long been an advocate for the policies that many of them agree with. But again, she didn't commit to any specific plans to divert money away from traditional public schools into private schools or public charter schools. But she also didn't rule it out.
Betsy DeVos asked whether she would push states to use school vouchers. Here's her answer on that.
No, I would hope I could convince you all of the merit of that in maybe some future legislation, but certainly not any kind of mandate from within the department.
Democrats say DeVos's support goes well beyond charter schools to include more contentious policy issues, such as sending money, public money, to religious schools. Did that come up at all, Michael?
It did. And while Republicans like the idea of – many Republicans like the idea of vouchers, some Democrats on the panel pointed out that in many states, states' constitutions prohibit federal – or, excuse me, public money from being used at private religious schools. And as you heard, she said that she wouldn't impose that across the board but would leave it up to states.
A lot of other issues came up last night, of course. Here is Senator Patty Murray again speaking about President-elect Donald Trump's controversial issues surrounding sexual assault in his personal life. She asked DeVos whether she would consider Trump's alleged behaviors as sexual assault.
If this behavior, kissing and touching women and girls without their consent, happened in a school, would you consider it a sexual assault?
Yes.
Of course, this relates to the Obama administration's policy requiring uniform reporting standards for sexual assault on college campuses. Michael, Betsy DeVos said it was premature to say whether or not she would continue those policies. Is that right?
That's right. She said she didn't want to weigh in on whether she would roll back federal guidance from the Obama administration directing colleges and universities to take a more aggressive stance with regard to campus sexual assault. Some conservatives have taken issue with this guidance, saying it deprives some accused students of their due process rights. And it is long been controversial among Republicans on the Hill. So there'll certainly be pressure from her, from the right, to roll back this guidance. But she did not say one way or another whether she would change course on campus sexual assault from where the Obama administration has been.
A lot of grilling last night. Here's one exchange between Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren grilling Betsy DeVos about her lack of education experience.
Mrs. DeVos, have you ever taken out a student loan from the federal government to help pay for college?
I have not.
Have any of your children had to borrow money in order to go to college?
They have been fortunate not to.
Uh-huh. Have you had any personal experience with a Pell Grant?
Not personal experience, but certainly friends and students with whom I've worked.
So you have no personal experience with college financial aid or management of higher education.
So let's hear more about Betsy DeVos's experience, her background. Michael Stratford, hold on a minute. Let me bring in from Lansing, Michigan, Susan Demas. She's editor of Inside Michigan Politics. She's been covering Betsy DeVos's political career in Michigan. Welcome, Susan. Nice to have you.
Thank you, Jane.
So tell us about the woman who is set to become the public face of education policy in this country. We heard from her a little bit last night. What do you see?
Well, Betsy DeVos has been a driving force of Republican politics in Michigan for decades. And obviously, education is a passion of hers. But she's also been deeply involved in party politics and in economic issues like right to work. So it's really not a surprise to see her in a national role, because obviously both she and her husband have been big national donors for years.
Mm-hmm. So a political force in Michigan, donors to campaigns and causes. What's been her impact specifically on education in Michigan, where she's from?
I'm not sure that you can name another person who has had more influence on education in Michigan in recent decades. She is kind of the godmother of school choice in Michigan, and we have some of the most lax laws on school choice across the country. We just had a recent charter expansion in the last few years, and she's one of the reasons why we have so many charter schools to begin with, because she's been working on this issue, as I said, for decades.
Have they been successful? Have charter schools been successful in Michigan with her blessing?
Well, that's a very controversial question. I think overall, if you look at the literature, charter schools perform a little bit worse than traditional public schools, but they're certainly booming here. Certainly parents have taken full advantage of the choices they've had. And more and more charter schools pop up year after year here.
And her family, in fact, runs a charter school. Is that right?
Correct, in Grand Rapids. And she also has her own advocacy organization, along with her husband, Dick DeVos, who ran for governor in 2006. And that's the Great Lakes Education Project. They're intimately involved in school choice issues here and across the country.
Betsy DeVos is a woman of faith. What is her stand on religious schools, religious education?
This has long been her great passion. She was the driving force of a failed voucher ballot proposal back in 2000 in Michigan. She actually parted ways from the Republican governor, John Engler, at the time. And that did fail at the ballot box, but she's been involved in efforts in other states. And I think she made it rather clear yesterday that she would like to take federal policy in the direction of giving parents more choice for religious schools.
Michael Stratford, jump back in here in our last few seconds before the break. Here, there's a little bit of Betsy DeVos's background, her advocacy. Will she continue as an activist, push policy while her family continues to lobby and campaign for some of those same policies?
I think she made clear that she would try to encourage the type of school choice policies that she's long advocated, although she did at one point commit to not making political donations and said her husband wouldn't either while she was Secretary of Education.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. We're speaking this hour about Secretary of Education nominee Betsy DeVos and the future of public education under Donald Trump. You can join the conversation. Are you worried about her ethics, the influence of her billions, or is she just what we need, an outsider with fresh perspectives? You can follow us on Twitter, find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. We're speaking this hour with Michael Stratford, education reporter at Politico Pro, and with us via Skype, Susan Demas, editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Here's some tape. While campaigning, now President-elect Donald Trump spoke at the Family Research Council's Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. in September. He advocated for school choice because, he said, of the millions of poor and disadvantaged students trapped in failing schools.
School choice is at the center of the civil rights agenda. And my goal is to provide every single inner-city child in America that is trapped in a failing government school the freedom to attend the school of their choice. Competition, the schools will get better and better and better.
At that same Values Voters Summit, Donald Trump also championed school choice.
As your president, I will be the biggest cheerleader for school choice you've ever seen.
Michael Stratford, school choice. I mean, Betsy DeVos is really carrying out Donald Trump's vision on this, is he not? Is she not?
That's right. President-elect Trump on the campaign trail, perhaps in some of the speeches you just played, outlined a $20 billion school choice plan that would send money to students and families to choose whichever type of school they want to enroll at. It's not clear where that money would come from or whether it would come from existing federal funding for low-income schools. But this school choice is very much a centerpiece of the Trump education platform, and it's something that Betsy DeVos has long been advocating for.
Susan Demas, speak to that. I mean, this is really her issue, right? I mean, school choice, this is really what she spent her life advocating for, not just in Michigan, but in other places, right, across the country?
Correct. She's been involved in school choice issues across the country, New Jersey, Ohio, Wisconsin, and more. So I think that, you know, one thing that's interesting is that, like a lot of religious conservatives, especially here in Michigan, in the West Michigan, Grand Rapids area, Betsy DeVos was initially rather skeptical of Donald Trump. But I think that speeches like the one that he gave at the Values Voter Summit solidified in their minds that he was somebody they could work with and, in her case, now work for, because that is her vision. School choice, not just charters, not just magnets, but really expanding religious schooling here in this country and the options for parents.
Has she talked about that as sort of a vision that she has for sort of in a national way, Susan?
She has many times spoken at length about her faith and about the fact that she does feel that religious schooling is a very important option for families. It's something she's very passionate about and has been for decades.
Many, many callers want to get in here. Let's go to listener Tom first in Detroit. Hi, Tom. You're on the air. Welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Go ahead.
I'm a retired former educator with Detroit Public Schools here in Detroit, Michigan. And, you know, the way I look at Ms. DeVos is this. This woman has never been in public education. She went to private school. But I'm saying even in terms of life after school, meaning her having graduated college, she did not put her feet in my shoes and walk into the classroom to see what I have to deal with and the students have to deal with on a daily basis. I mean, you know, the woman's born with a platinum spoon in her mouth. And I mean, you know, she thinks that she knows what's good for us when she hasn't been there to, you know, walk through
to experience it herself. Tom, thank you very much for that comment. Let's go to Keith for another perspective in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Keith. Welcome to On Point.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay. Well, the way I see it, I have two school-age kids, or they're about to go ahead and go into school. And I want to have as much choice as possible. I'm not necessarily concerned about the public schools, private schools, or charter schools. And I believe even in Charlotte, the number one school in Charlotte is a charter school. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really concerned about, you know, and I think it's more so teachers' jobs that everybody's concerned about, which is good. But at the same time, I'm also concerned about, people actually teaching my children correctly, because I have to deal with the aftermath of it.
Keith, thank you so much. Back-to-back differing perspectives there. Michael Stratford, you know, Keith saying he wants choice, he wants the best for his kids. And what about Tom's point? Is it unusual for an education secretary designate not to have attended public schools?
You know, I think the record on that, the individual nominee attending public schools is mixed, but it is true that Mrs. DeVos doesn't have the type of traditional public school experience that other education secretaries have, working either as a teacher or an education policy advisor or a school administrator or superintendent. And that's certainly something that Democrats hounded last night in trying to portray her as not only an out of touch, one of the many billionaires Donald Trump is stacking his cabinet with, who are out of touch with the concerns of real Americans, but on specific policy questions, trying to show that she isn't up for the job. There were several exchanges with Senate Democrats where you could tell they were trying to really trip her up on the nitty-gritty of some education policy questions.
Hmm. So lots came up last night. Charter schools, vouchers, higher education. Here's one exchange with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders asking Betsy DeVos about making public colleges free.
Will you work with me and others to make public colleges and universities tuition free through federal and state efforts?
Well, Senator, I think that's a really interesting idea.
And it's really great to consider and think about. But I think we also have to consider the fact that there's nothing in life that's truly free. Somebody's going to pay for it.
Susan Demas, historically, any ideas how Betsy DeVos might feel about that in any sort of implementation?
I doubt that you'll see a future Secretary of Education DeVos backing Bernie Sanders' free college tuition plan. You know, she's very free market oriented. The DeVoses have a business empire. Her family, the Princes, do as well. And that's kind of behind their whole advocacy of education choice, is taking a free market approach to education, whereas Bernie Sanders is obviously a more socialistic view of education. Mm-hmm. So I think that you are going to see her spar very vehemently with him on this in the future. And I really don't think that this idea probably has much currency in the current, in the incoming Trump administration.
From free public colleges to whether or not guns should be in school, here's an exchange between Betsy DeVos and Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy.
You can't say definitively today that guns shouldn't be in schools?
Well, I will refer back to Senator Enzi and the school that he was talking about in Wapiti, Wyoming. I think probably there, I would imagine that there's probably a gun in the school to protect from potential grizzlies.
Michael Stratford, Donald Trump talked about a safe zone, did he not, around schools as it pertains to guns during the campaign?
Yes, he said he wanted to get rid of a federal law that creates gun-free zones around schools. And in the hearing last night, Mrs. DeVos said that she agreed with that policy. And she also said it should be left up to states and local governments whether guns should be allowed in schools.
Here's Secretary of Education nominee Betsy DeVos facing a lot of criticism for her lack of work in education. And this is Tennessee Senator Lamar Alexander saying that that was actually a good thing.
Some people are questioning her qualifications to be Secretary of Education. And too many of those questions to me seem to be based on the fact that she doesn't come from within the education establishment. But honestly, I believe that today that's one of the most important qualifications you could have for this job.
Michael Stratford, is Betsy DeVos finished now? No more questioning, is that correct?
As far as Senator Lamar Alexander, who's the chair of the committee, is concerned, I think that's right. Although Democrats vehemently pushed last night and continue to push for another round of questions. But so far, the chair of the committee has said he's not interested in doing that, and has said that he's going to go with what he says is the precedent of the committee, which is to hold one hearing and one round of questions.
And how do you see her chances of being confirmed, Michael?
I didn't see anything last night that took away support. The support she has among Senate Republicans. Certainly, Senate Democrats went into the hearing skeptical of DeVos, and I think they came out of it continuing to have concerns about her. But I didn't hear anything that would take away the support she has from Republicans, and I think she'll be probably confirmed with that Republican support.
Well, I appreciate your rundown of last night. Michael Stratford, education reporter for Politico Pro, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And Susan Demas, joining us via Skype from Lansing, Michigan, editor and publisher of Inside Michigan Politics. Thanks for your historical perspective, Susan. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Joining me now from Washington is Michael Petrilli. He is the president of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute and an editor of Education Next. Betsy DeVos funded the Fordham Institute's study on student engagement in high school. Michael, welcome.
Hi, Jane.
And joining us also from New Orleans, Douglas Harris, director of the Education Research Alliance for New Orleans and professor of economics at Tulane University. His op-ed in the New York Times is titled Betsy DeVos and the Wrong Way to Fix Schools. Michael Petrilli, let me start with you. What did you make of the hearings last night? What did you hear?
Yeah, I think that your previous guest got it right. I think that in the end, she is likely to be confirmed because I don't think she said anything that's going to upset Republicans on that committee or in the Senate. And of course, under the new rules in the Senate, she just needs to get Republican votes to be confirmed. I think that she did make a few mistakes, and we're going to be hearing a lot about that. But I think we are looking at our next education secretary.
Douglas Harris, do you agree? I mean, what did you hear in Betsy DeVos, her ideas, her vision for education in this country?
Well, I think we heard what we expected to hear, right? That as the earlier speaker said, that she's very focused on one issue, and that's choice. And I think the problem she's going to run into in the long term, and what really matters here, is whether that's going to be good for students, whether we just focus on choice and get the government completely out of the way, whether that's really going to solve anything. And the best evidence suggests that it's not, that even though we do need to improve schools, that the approaches that she's tried have not succeeded, and the best evidence is running against her.
So charter schools and voucher programs, to your mind, cannot work as a nationwide policy, which it seems to be. No,
I wouldn't say that. So,
okay.
DeVos's focus is on choice and having as little government involvement as possible. With vouchers, tuition tax credits, virtual schools, those are the programs that have the least government involvement. They're also the ones that have worked the least well. Charter schools are different. Charter schools still have, at least in a lot of places, a fairly active role for government in holding schools accountable and helping to coordinate the system and making sure that students actually have access to these schools, so that it's choice with options. I think one of the mistakes that they're making is thinking that just by giving choice that students are really going to have options, when in fact, especially with vouchers, we know that it's going to be hard for students to get into these into the private schools that have admission requirements. And we've seen lots of stories about charter schools and private schools kind of keeping students out, when the whole point here is to be improving access. So I think she's right that we need to improve things, especially in the cities, places where they're not working well. But the specific form of reform that she has in mind, again, just the free market approach is not going to work.
What do you think about that, Michael Petrilli? Do you agree?
I think that Doug is not characterizing Betsy DeVos's position accurately. And to be fair, it's hard to know exactly what her position is. And we don't know a whole lot more after last night's hearing because she was careful to stay to her talking points. But, based on her record, not just in Michigan, but around the country and the groups that she has created and supported, I think that she is okay with some accountability for choice programs. She has certainly been supportive of that, both on the charter side, but even on the voucher side. There are now programs in Louisiana, Indiana, other places where kids who are going to private schools using school vouchers, they have to take the state test just like everybody else, and those results get reported at the school level. In Louisiana, the state superintendent can even kick schools out of the program if they are not making enough progress on tests, which is frankly much higher stakes than we see in most of public education. And Betsy DeVos supported that program. Mm-hmm. So I think that she is not as much of a free market zealot as Doug and some others have made her out to be. It's an important line of questions, and I think we're going to see where she lands on these issues as secretary.
Doug, go ahead.
Sure. There's a really interesting exchange between Ms. DeVos and Senator Warren at the end there. It was actually about colleges, but I think it actually symbolizes where she thinks. It was about accountability, and Senator Warren kept asking, what's accountability? How are you going to hold colleges accountable? And she just kept saying, I'm going to hold them accountable, and she refused to say anything about that and about what that actually means. And if you look at the model legislation that her organization have put out there, the extent of that model legislation is that there are outcome measures and that they get reported on a public website. So Mike's right that there are places where she's at least gone along with stricter accountability. But if you just listen to her words and listen to the way she talks, principle number 1, 2, and 3 is choice, choice, choice. And the rest of it, I think she might go along with it. I think Mike actually put it that way, that she'll go along with it, she might be okay with it, but that she's going to try to have as little as possible, and that's the problem.
Do you think she will make a push, Michael Petrilli, for national charter school programs?
I think what's clear in what she said last night is that she is going to be supportive of states that want to create more parental choice in education, both charters and private school choice. I don't think she's going to try to force it on any states that don't want that.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interests in mind. Rocket Mortgage provides a transparent online process that helps you understand all the details of your home loan. You can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you get the right mortgage solution for you. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, we're speaking this hour about Secretary of Education nominee Betsy DeVos. You can join the conversation. Would you confirm Betsy DeVos? What do you hear in her positions on education? Here is Betsy DeVos giving her opening statement at yesterday's confirmation hearings. The charter school advocate promises to champion a parent's right to choose where they enroll their children.
I'm a firm believer that parents should be empowered to choose the learning environment that's best for each of their individual children. The vast majority of students in this country will continue to attend public schools. If confirmed, I will be a strong advocate for great public schools. But if a school is troubled or unsafe or not a good fit for a child, perhaps they have a special need that's going unmet, we should support a parent's right to enroll their child in a high-quality alternative.
And here is Betsy DeVos later in the hearing talking about why she has made education reform her life's work.
We saw the struggles and sacrifices many of these families faced when trying to choose the best educational option for their children. For me, this was not just an issue of public policy, but of national injustice.
We're talking with Michael Petrilli, president of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute and editor of Education Next, and with Douglas Harris, director of the Education Research Alliance for New Orleans and professor of economics at Tulane University. I hear Betsy DeVos talking about being a strong advocate for great public schools, Douglas Harris, and of course she's an advocate for charter schools. To your mind, can you do both well? Can you support both and have them both work?
Absolutely. I think part of what's getting lost in the conversation here is that there are some places where the schools really need fixing, where things are not going well. And in fact, when you look at the voucher evidence in the places where it has sometimes worked, it has sometimes worked in urban areas where we've tried these things. Where it hasn't worked is anywhere else. So I think one of the lessons here is that, you know, that if these programs are well targeted, if you focus them on the places where there's the most need, then they can be mm-hmm. helpful.
So give us the difference, for example, between charter schools in New Orleans and Detroit. I mean, help us understand where it works, why it works in different places.
Well, okay, so finishing the prior point's important here. That what she's talking about, taking these things national into rural areas, suburban okay. areas, where there's no evidence that these things work. So let's talk about New Orleans. You asked about that. So in New Orleans, they've adopted a version of charter schools. And here, again, the issue is that there are different ways of doing this. And in New Orleans, they've had a version of it that has more accountability for schools, more oversight, more coordination in ways that have worked. In fact, when they first started those reforms after Hurricane Katrina, it didn't actually work very well because they actually didn't have any of those things, or there wasn't the accountability, their mm-hmm. oversight. They hadn't built that in. Over time, when they started to build that in, the system really started to take hold and do well, and we see achievement gains here on a wide variety of measures that have surpassed, I think, any district in the country.
What are the consequences? What are some of the consequences, Michael Petrilli, of minimum oversight in charter schools?
Well, we do know in a few states that have had minimal oversight, we tend to see lower performance. The good news is that the charter school movement has had this ability to self-correct. You know, there were some states like Texas and Arizona that used to be considered the Wild West. They've closed a bunch of charter schools, had stronger oversight. In Ohio, where my group does a lot of work, same thing. A couple years ago, passed a big charter law to clean things up. And frankly, in Michigan, just this past spring, a law was passed that is meant to try to improve charter quality in Michigan. And Betsy DeVos DeVos supported that law, does things like grade schools on an A to F scale, closes charter schools that are low performing automatically, and other things. I would say, Jane, you know, one thing to keep in mind, though, is that this issue around school choice, charter schools, is just one tiny issue that Betsy DeVos is going to be dealing with. You know, most of what the education secretary is going to be dealing with is our higher education system. It's going to be things around implementing the new federal law, the Every Student Succeeds Act, that deals with accountability and standards for traditional public schools. Most American kids out there are probably not going to be impacted very much by whatever Betsy DeVos does or doesn't do when it comes to charter schools or school vouchers. Frankly, they're not going to be impacted that much by the federal government at all, because the feds just don't play a huge role in education policy.
Right. So, Douglas Harris, that's a good point.
The point, though, is that that she wants to expand that role dramatically. And the first thing that's likely to happen here is a massive expansion, especially in terms of a tax credit type program that is going to increase the federal role. And I think she also just the bully pulpit here. We saw what the Obama administration could do in terms of making things happen with just making suggestions and nudging and competitive grants and so on. I think she's going to have a major impact.
So, Douglas, the Education Department, I mean, it doesn't set state standards, it doesn't set school curricula, but it does administer financial aid, it collects data, analyzes educational data, all the rest. Do you think that she could define the debate in other ways with the bully pulpit, and that's your concern?
Well, I think that's part of it. I think she can do two things, right? She's going to have control over resources, and she's going to have control over the rules and regulations at the state level, and she's going to have the bully pulpit. So she'll be out there sending messages. She has a wide political network already that she's built up through her past activities. So I think that there is certainly going to be a coordinated effort between what she's doing at the federal level and what's happening in the states to greatly expand choice policies, which I think could be fine if they did it the right way. I think the problem is that they're so broad-based and not aligned with what the evidence suggests is going to work that it's really just not going to help students in the long run.
A lot of comments on our website and on Facebook, especially to the point of school choice. Maureen says, school choice is another way to reap profit from the people who have no power. Rex Henry says, DeVos wants to give vouchers from public funds to pay for private schools because public schools are failing. Why don't we just give the public schools the money they deserve and maybe they won't be failing? And then this, schools should serve children and parents. Many cities are suffering from the union rules that serve teachers and not kids. Let's go for some other perspectives here. Sam in East Greenwich, Rhode Island. Hi, Sam. You're on the air. Thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Thanks for including me.
Yes.
Conversation. I am a borderline socialist. I'm a Bernie guy all the way, and here in Rhode Island voted for him and then for Hillary when I had to. And I am totally against guns in schools, and I am for free public colleges. But I am completely flummoxed by the fact that so much of the left cannot think outside the box and take issue by issue. When it comes to school choice, I'm 70 years old. I'm back in college because I need to get re-educated in my general field of broadcasting, 21st century version.
Okay.
And so I've got student loans. But 25 years ago, my two sons were in school, and I couldn't afford to move them to a school where I wanted them to be, a private school, because it was just the difference just about of what my local school, Van Hingham, Massachusetts, put a dollar amount on each kid's head. If I could have moved that amount of money while my kids were in school over to the school I'd rather have had them in, I could have kept them there. It just occurs to me that we all owe paying the taxes that it takes to educate the kids at large, regardless of our ages, mm-hmm. just like the kids are paying for my Social Security now. But when my kids are in school, the period of time that my kids are in school, I should be able to choose where I want them to go.
Got it. I appreciate it, and I hear the perspective. Let's get another one here. Joanna in White River Junction, Vermont. Joanna, what do you hear in this conversation? Where do you stand? Hi. You're welcome.
I'm from Vermont, and I'm sitting in my kids' classical school parking lot in New Hampshire because I drive 30 minutes to get them to school here. I homeschooled for the last 6 years.
Okay.
And we had a school choice in Vermont, but it just did not pass recently in the legislation. So, like, my sister-in-law, she has to move so her son can keep going to another school. And it's very evident, like, what schools are good and what schools aren't, mm-hmm. and the choices that people make here.
However, so, did you vote for Trump? Do you like Betsy DeVos? What are you seeing here?
Yes, I'm a Vermonter who voted for Trump. I'm well-educated. I worked on Capitol Hill. I'm from Vermont. You know, several people in my family did, mm-hmm. and several did not. And, of course, that's very challenging.
But what do you want to see from Betsy DeVos, Joanna?
I think her focus is great. I'd like to be able to see that if there's school choice, that I would be able to use it to send my children to a religious school. Mm.
Joanna, I hear it. Thank you. Let's get one more in here. Brandy in Augusta, Georgia. Hi, Brandy. You're on the air. Welcome to you.
Hi, Jane. Thank you very much.
Sure.
I actually have a question for your guest.
Okay.
I'm concerned. I'm actually fine with Betsy DeVos in terms of her idea of having more school choice. But I'm concerned about, in having more school choice, we're actually creating an unequal system that might look much like our private higher education system, where mm-hmm. the best schools are really actually out of reach for the most needy children. And how do you regulate that when each school is just competing for that voucher, but some students may not be able to go above and beyond whatever the voucher offers the school?
That's a good point, Brandy. Thank you. Let me take it to Michael Parilli. What about that? Have this sort of system that starts to look like our higher ed system.
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, most of these school voucher programs, they say, first of all, only low-income or working-class kids can participate, can get the voucher. And second, the schools cannot charge additional tuition beyond the voucher in order to address that specific concern. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it all depends on the details and how you design these programs and how they work. I would say, though, you know, it's a good thing to be worried about our system becoming more unequal, but it is already incredibly unequal today. And what we have is a system where if you are affluent and you can afford expensive homes in nice neighborhoods, you have access to some great public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And by and large, if you're poor, you do not. And, you know, what school choice is about is trying to break that connection between, you know, the kind of house you can afford and the kind of school you can get into. And I think that interest in school choice, what we're hearing from your listeners, even the borderline socialist, is that idea is well-regarded and well-respected and very broad. The question is around the details. You know, how are those problems going to work?
And Douglas Harris, that's what Betsy DeVos is saying, that these charter schools are simply a way of offering poor parents the kind of school choice that wealthy parents have had all along, that they've been able to afford all along. Is that not a good point?
Yeah, no, I think it is a good point. I think Mike's right that the existing system has inequalities and that we should do something about it. That's why I'm not arguing for leaving things as they are. But mm-hmm. I think we've set up a bit of a false choice here between having a system where there's choice and having the existing system. There is another option, which is to have choice and also have a system in place that will really ensure that students have access. You know, Mike was right about the things that you can do to set up these programs to help ensure access. But you know, we know from research that even with those provisions, that there will be the desire for schools to choose their students and to exclude certain groups of students. And if you don't have anybody minding the store on those kinds of things and on making sure the transportation is available and so on, that you'll end up with choice but not really any options.
To caller Brandy's point, speaking of higher education, there are critics out there that are very concerned about Betsy DeVos's plans to regulate for-profit colleges, which they say are mired in widespread allegations of fraud and predatory lending. Michael Petrilli, is that a concern to your mind?
It is a concern. But again, let's talk about the role of the education secretary. You know, Congress is overdue in updating the Higher Education Act of many years. There's some talk that finally they're going to get around to it this year. If they want to close down those for-profit schools or regulate them more heavily, they can pass a law to make that happen. And then Betsy DeVos would, I think, follow that law. So, you know, there's some shared responsibility here.
Let's get another call in here. Ike in Waukon, Iowa. Ike, you're on the air. Welcome to On Point.
Hi, James. One of the greatest things I've seen with the incoming administration as far as the choice for parents, we've had some discussions in town here about cash programs directly to the parent instead of vouchers going from public to private. We can use the funds, you know, as we would need directly for our children, you know, whether mm-hmm. laptops or equipment, textbooks. And I'd really like to see that. Excuse me.
Okay, Ike, thank you. Let's get Christy in here from Metairie, Louisiana. Did I get that right, Christy? Hello?
Metairie. It's
okay, thank you. Go ahead.
I am the parent of two children in an A-rated charter school in Jefferson Parish, which sits next to Orleans Parish.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Jefferson Parish has been quite hostile toward the charters, and our charter is actually going to have to close because Jefferson Parish refused to renew the lease in the name of the Dandridge decision. Unfortunately, and so they're going to move all the children to Orleans, where they are more friendly toward charters.
So will Betsy DeVos make your system better, do you think, Christy?
I'm optimistic that hopefully there will be better coordination and better protections for the high-performing charters. I understand the need to have accountability and close the ones that are low-performing, but when you see that type of political action against high-performing charters, it's just very sad, the intention elimination of good options.
Christy, thank you. We just got about a minute left here. There's so much to this conversation, and it has been a very rich one. Douglas and Michael, tell me how you see education policy changing under Betsy DeVos in a Trump administration. Douglas Harris, you first.
Well, I think we'll start to see, as I said earlier, more funding going into choice programs, probably through a tax credit program. That's the part that's politically easiest to pass because of the tax cut and because it doesn't have to go through some of the committees that would be a little bit more skeptical of that idea. So I think that's probably the first thing that we'll see. And I think beyond that, I think there are a lot of questions. You know, Mike made some good points earlier about all the other ways and roles that the Secretary of Education has. And those are also areas where Betsy DeVos has very little experience, and I think it really showed in her in the hearing yesterday that there were mm-hmm. some pretty significant issues that she didn't really seem to grasp. And I think in those issues we have the least idea about what she's going to do.
Michael Petrilli, last 15 seconds here. What do you say?
Yeah, look, I think the main thing is she is going to give power back to the states in a significant way. We're going to see red states and blue states go their own way on education, and that might be okay.
Michael Petrilli, president of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, which promotes school choice and charters. Thank you, Michael, very much.
Thank you, Jane.
And Douglas Harris, professor of economics at Tulane University. Doug, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jane.
You can continue the conversation, listeners. Get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. You can follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point.